delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
And so it is. The Sydney FC season has come to an end with 11 wins, 5 draws, 10 losses. An epic elimination final performance that will go down in the ages, and a rather meek exit from the semi-finals in the end after a horrible mistake brought our best-laid plans undone. It's the Sky Blue Story season review episode with Sean, Jules and Jono. In the hour to come, we'll talk about our exit from the semi-finals, the Sydney FC NPL show rolling on, and of course run our eyes over both the A-League men's and women's seasons before signing off and heading into the Sydney sunsets. Gentlemen, hello.
Was that a ChatGPT intro? That sounded a little bit more...
No.
No?
Oh,
okay. That was very good. I loved the ending. Very, like that? Very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, ChatGPT wouldn't know about Sydney Sunset, surely.
No.
It's learning. It's learning.
It's learning. It's evolving. Skynet is
it. That's it.
Are we evolving, though, boys? Are we evolving? Rather, like a meek exit?
Yeah,
that's fair.
What does meek mean?
The meek shall inherit the earth, Sean. Come on, good Catholic school boy.
Oh, I've sinned so much. I'm a terrible Catholic.
You are. Meek, yeah, weak. It was sort of, you know,
just sort of.
It was so hum. You know, we got a little bit of a hit of vitamin D, you know, the last month or so, the last few weeks of the season, and then the couple of weeks of the semi-finals of that new competition. So, look, it was a bit of fun, a little bit of ray of sunshine in what was a very dull, overcast kind of season, so to speak.
Are you setting up the Under Armour jersey for next year? What are you?
Yes,
please.
The Sydney dullness, a grey jersey with
burn it with fire. Please. I hope Under Armour go into liquidation or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry to anyone who works for them. You lose your job, but, you know.
There are plenty of jobs out there at the moment.
Yeah.
Plenty of jobs out there. So why don't we follow suit? Why don't we do our regular pattern of events, Sean? And let's start off with Around the Grounds.
Grounds.
Well, you would have heard or read, actually, because it was in words, in text. Burgess, Max Burgess, not Baby John, for all of those playing at home. Remember catchphrase? You might be too young for that, Jules, but
Wheel of Fortune.
Burgess catchphrase.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune. Oh, no, okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, Burgess catchphrase.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Alive. Not related, but anyway, is he? Oh, good on him. Maxi has got a 2-match ban for his tackle for his naughty. Yeah, second time this season. So another a 2-match ban. And a good question, I think it was from Roscoe in the tweets, the Elon sphere. Can he serve those 2 matches, like say with the
Cup?
Yes,
he can.
Yes, he can.
All right.
It's your the suspension is your next competitive fixture.
There you go.
So yeah.
Bit of trivia, boys. Who was the last player in the A-League men's to get 2 red cards in a single season?
Terry Quinn. Very good, Sean.
It was in 2014-15. If that helps.
Well, not Seba.
Oh, Fatty.
No.
Damn it.
Right position. Nikola Petkovic.
Oh,
what a guy.
2 red cards in the 14-15 season. So.
Are they straight reds or 2 yellows?
I'm not sure.
I'm asking too much of you.
You are asking way too
rowdy.
Much.
Rowdy.
As usual.
Phone a friend.
Rowdy.
Another little bit of info, and I'm sure over the next coming weeks, when we pod somewhat on a more fortnightly or whatever it might be kind of basis, but a little bit of a whisper that Donks, Donicky is off to, you know, a bit of curry in a hurry. He's off to East Bengal. Can I say that?
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, apparently.
Maybe.
We're cancelled in the morning, you'll know. East Bengal, off to the Indian Premier League. So apparently, you know, I don't think many will be
disappointed. He spent a season over there for Goa, didn't he, before coming to us. So there's reasons for links to be there. We're just having a chat just before we started recording, lads. I don't know if he's on contract or not with us. I remember he and Paolo. I remember he and Paolo being announced at the same time, but yeah, I don't know if it was 2 years or one. I feel like it was two. But
I feel like I feel like Donks had a year extension, but I could be wrong. And the last little bit of around the grounds for this season, at least, is look, I've got a, you know, I need to admit this openly. Maybe it's the tattoos, but I've got a little bit of a crush on Brendan Slowey, only because he speaks. maybe it is the tats.
He's my boy.
Why was I waiting for you to inappropriately say like an A-League women's player or something?
Give it time. This pod's still young, but. Because he spits rhymes and like wisdom and shit.
Spitting straight facts.
Straight facts. That's it. Thanks, Kanye. and after the Friday's game, we're going back and forth. Twitter was rife with chat.
You were rife.
Rife. Ardo, I appreciate your input and whatnot, and Roscoe in there as well. But what Slowey did, how he put so succinctly. What is success for us as a club in terms of like A, B, C, D, if you boys might have seen this, but
it's
absolutely spot on, and I can't argue with it, you know. So for those who've seen, for us as Sydney FC, A+ is the double. So it was a bit of talk back and forth. Has this season been a success or not? Can we consider it a success that we finished fifth, made the, you know, semis, and well, even though it was a meek way to finish the season. We were 90 minutes away from a grand final, albeit in 2 weeks' time. A+ for a double. A for either a plate or a ring. B would be for a grand final loss or second place. C would be top four, minimum expectation for any Sydney FC manager. D, finishing fifth or sixth, and an F for missing semis. So finishing out of the top six. So last season definitely was a fail. So I think it's a fail anywhere from 7th to 12th because you're all in the same boat.
So, where does that put us this year? Because we finished 5th, which is a D, but then we made the semis.
A D.
But then we made the semis, so.
Yeah, but for me, I judge it like a different competition. It almost.
Okay.
Because we made semis, but we're no different to the rest of the mob.
Is this C's a top four finish, didn't you say?
It's the top four.
Finish.
Yeah, minimum expectation.
Yeah.
So
C minus,
maybe a D plus, but I don't think any Sydney FC plus can look back and go.
Imagine getting a D plus. Like,
just give me a C teach. Come on, mate. Just round up, mate.
No, it was very, very succinct.
Yeah, I liked it.
A bit more around the ground, Sean. You missed something.
Yeah, right. What?
Former Sky Blue favourite.
Oh, has he got a big dick?
I'm not sure about that. But he had a good song. Sim De Jong.
Has
announced his retirement. Rumoured to be going to work for O'Brien Glass. He's got experience being made of it. No, that's not
very nice. That's
not very nice at all. No, I love Sim De Jong as a player. I thought if he was fit for us that entire season, imagine how much we would have won the league by. We still won the championship, but Sim, a great player, great song. Close to 300 games in the Eredivisie, boys. And just to cap a wonderful career, scored a brace in his last game for De Graafschap. On the weekend. So not a bad way to hang up the boots. So congrats to Sim. Wonderful, wonderful career. And thanks for your time at Sydney FC.
Favourite Sim De Jong goal?
Wanderers free kick.
I think semi-final too. Yeah. Cup semi-final. But that Suncorp one, Sean, was pretty good.
Yeah, on the white line there. Yeah,
sexy goal.
It's pretty good too. He scored another banger at Cogger actually, from memory. But what a player, a luxury player he was for Stephen Corica's first year in charge way back in 1920. I think that's it for Around the Grounds.
Yeah, short and sweet this week. But now we can start talking about a meek game that was last Friday night. Shall we talk about it? I guess we kind of have to.
Is that your new favorite word, Sean?
Meek. Yeah.
Word of day calendar. That's brought to you by Sky Blue Stories.
Story. Allegory. Jumping ahead, we had the second game of two against Melbourne City down there at Amy Park last Friday night. It was a 4-0 loss, was it? Yeah. 4-0 loss. 5-1 on aggregate. Across the two games. And look, boys, in a nutshell, before we start to break down the game and go through some different, you know, the series of events of the game, impressions immediately after and the day since, how you thinking, how you feeling? Were you able to sleep that night, or you were just like, oh, well, it is what it is.
I don't know about you guys, but I kind of went into the game with a little bit of, not expectation, just hope. It was more hope. I didn't really mind if we did lose, as weird as that sound, because realistically, I think we can all say, hand on heart, that's further than what we think we would have gotten, considering how bad the season was in overall. Slept like a baby, to be fair, because we probably exceeded expectations from where we were probably 5 or 6 weeks ago.
The grand final, so to speak, was the Wanderers game two weeks ago, you know.
Yeah.
That was ecstasy. Yeah. And I'm still living off that, so. Yeah. Don't
know. Disappointing the way it panned out, because I thought up until the red, we were matching them. I don't think we were on top of them, but we were certainly matching them. And I just don't think we could go with them much after going down to 10 men. It was inevitable. What was going to happen? So it just shone back to the 21 grand final with Bratz. Red card and almost the exact outcome, sadly.
The cursed.
We know that. Well, let's talk about the red card, Sean.
Yeah.
Boy.
I love Max. And it was a bit like the Bratz from a couple of years. It was just over exuberance, over eagerness, over, you know, hunger to want to make an impact at the game. And it was an absolute brain fart. And Maxi knew it. He kind of put up his hand. You could see how dejected he was walking back down the tunnel and back into the sheds. It was dumb. It was stupid. It was reckless. I wouldn't go as far as to say it was the reason why we lost the game.
That makes you better than some people on Twitter, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they got my villain of this week, so I'll hold off on elaborating on them. But he certainly made, and he knows this, and this is no criticism. He'd probably, if he listens to this, be going, yeah, fair point. He made it what was already a challenging task a more challenging task, you know.
It was certainly a strong contributing factor.
Yeah. Slid in late. Tilio was facing the other way. Studs were up. Back of the calf. It wasn't a nice look.
The disappointing thing, you know, we already mentioned it before, but he's already had a red for a very similar incident earlier in the year. And look, he knows he fucked up. from a few people we've spoken to, you know, very, very, very upset with himself, you know, during and after the game. So he knows, you know, how much that meant to the team and to Bimby and to the fans and everything like that. So yeah, not a great end to, you know, a pretty wonderful season that he's had, to be honest. Possibly his best in Sky Blue to date.
100%. Absolutely. And that, look, that did change the game. I disagree with you a bit, Jonathan. I felt that City were, in that first 20 minutes or, you know, the 19, were better than us. Not by much. They just had their nose out in front. And then the red card came and then everything changed. And it is a tough gig playing against or having to be 10 men. Always that man down, and against City. I think, who said it at the end of the game? Might have been Alfie or Wilco, you know. They're a tough team with 11 players, let alone, you know, you know, we're 10 playing against 11, you know. So a challenging task was made all the more challenging. And then from then on, it was just, and I had, you know, they see that A-League post like a day after the game, and it had like a screenshot of like the stats and like possession and stuff, and like, oh, Melbourne City dominated. I'm like, no fucking duh. See that the next day or something from them going, domination from Melbourne City. And I'm like, well, hello, they had 11 against 10. So, yeah, they're going to have the better of the stats. But just dumb. Anyway, but look, another game where McLaren, he probably did marginally more than what he did the week before. But he was mostly a ghost. But I guess that's a luxury for City, isn't it? You know, even without their number one striker banging in goals and being the golden boot, they can still, it's just got threats everywhere.
Yeah. He probably draws so much attention that it actually allows space and time for other creative players to get on the ball and be as dangerous as him. So it really doesn't matter. You've got too many problems to deal with City.
Yeah.
It's just McLaren. Oh, Tilio is so, all the rumors about him going overseas, I hope are true, because I think that's the next step for the lad. He's so good.
He has to go. I was sort of hoping even after the Red Boys that we'd at least be able to hold him to half time, you know, without conceding. And then, as the old adage goes, the longer you can hold him to nil-nil, the better chance you got as the team with 10. But City were just, I guess, professional performance, you could say. The fact they got their opener off a set piece, off a corner, was pretty disappointing. You know, so yeah. So I think that was Curtis Good's first goal of the season. Of course, it was.
Yep.
And yeah, I think once that happened, I think a lot of us sort of went, yeah, okay, well, that's it. There's, you know, we're not going to find a way back in here. But yeah, they're just disappointing. I don't really want to talk about all their goals. You mentioned the Tilio run and break.
Rodder's own goal, but it's not a it's not a howler own goal. It was just
Jack lost Curtis Good for the first goal as well. I don't think Jack had his best night compared to the week before, where he was, you know, he was quite good. So yeah, I mean, too much quality, too much time, I still maintain, you know, that red card doesn't happen. I think we push them all the way. Disappointing way to end the season in the end.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us probably conceded in the back of our minds that we'd probably lose, but we just wanted to be there in the arm wrestle. 1-0, 2-1, push them all the way. Maybe push him into extra time and then snag a goal, and then, you know, we can walk out with heads held high. They still can, but it still hurts.
I don't think there was any signs of us giving up either.
No, not at all.
I think they tried. We just couldn't match it.
Yeah.
And look, the other things that kind of didn't work in our favour, of course, we didn't have Lolly. You know, he still had the injury cloud. So I imagine will be our best player this season. Kind of the awards will go to will be Lolly, Mac. You know, ever since he came back from international duty, he was killing it. And no Mac, so we had no Mac Lolly or Max, our three.
They'll be your three top
goal
three
scorers, and yeah.
They'll be your top three in the player of the season.
Absolutely, our three threats. Not trying to necessarily make excuses. Like some of the weird hypotheticals I saw on Twitter.
Oh.
What if we didn't have time, bro?
Some of those were funny.
Yeah. Hopefully they were facetious, but anyway.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. One thing I will say, and you know, I've always been a fan of Corica, but one criticism I will make was it was only 1-0 at half time. Like you, Jonathan, you know, I was hoping that would go in at nil all and, you know, see what happens in the next 45. It was only 1-0. I thought at 1-0, that's the closest we were to them. So why not make the subs then? You know, at half time or early in, why wait to the second goal to go, okay, now I'll start to make some subs? That's my only criticism. I would have made
why?
Them earlier.
But why? Why would you change at half time?
Because
no one's tired.
Just to make an impact. Yeah.
I think.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being serious.
Oh, why? Well, of course they would be tired. They'd been defending for 90, you know, 80% or whatever.
For 25 minutes with 10 men. They're professional footballers. They shouldn't be tired at half time after that. I don't think changing at half time would have changed much at all, except use some subs that potentially you need later on in the game for blokes that are actually puffing and exhausted from doing extra work. I don't have a problem with it on this particular occasion. You've got to keep some legs in reserve, because what you want to do is try and keep that 1-0 scoreline with the team that you've got, try and get an equaliser and go to extra time.
And then make yourselves, yeah, fair point.
You know, so I don't know. I see what you're saying. I don't have a problem with it.
So how do we see it going ahead? You know, 2 weeks' time, no festival of football. I know you're both disappointed.
Five-a-side footy. And
yeah, what is that? Sorry, I didn't see that. What's
some sangers on a...
I'm going for the pumping music, Jules.
Yeah, pumping music.
I'm going for the pumping music for Moore Park.
Yeah.
DJ Lethal going to be there.
It's going to be sick.
How good.
So City in another grand final. I'm happy for Central Coast. You're a Central Coast Mariner now, Jonathan. After your,
I am. Yes, been to two or three games up there this year.
My God, I think that makes you eligible.
Well, it could be. I could get a winner's.
You've probably gone to more of the games than what half the crowd was.
There's nothing much going on in Gosford, though, Jules. Yeah,
there wouldn't be.
It was a good. It was a good night for the Gosfordians.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. A bit of cup dot action in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, just hope they can do City now.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, well, all's well that ends, and that's another season done and dusted for us. Yeah, a bit anticlimactic. How good? Yeah, woo. we do our SFCU votes.
Oh, this was hard. It was hard to. Hard to give votes when all you're doing is chasing people Max. Around the whole game.
Max or six.
Yeah. I think he just wanted to catch a fly, I reckon. He's like, fuck this. Off to Bali.
I'm going on.
I don't know.
Before, one player you didn't talk about, Sean, that you like to stick the boot into a little bit. You thought Sega had a bit of an off night with his opportunity.
He wasn't great.
I know. I don't normally like to stick the boot into Sega.
No, just to people in general.
I had trouble pronouncing his name, but he did.
He did have a bit of an off night, didn't he?
He did have an off night. There was a good pass from Retro early on, and he did what I've done a thousand times in all age, where, you know, you try and trap the boot, but it kind of goes in the bottom of your boot in the ground, kind of. That's classic Sean. I think I've done it a few times.
A couple of crosses that went over the top and out the back. And yeah.
And look, I did slate him a bit on Twitter, not like me. But and then I thought to myself, and somebody, I'll take, I can't remember who said it, but if only he had gotten a bit more minutes during the season, that might have like kind of mitigated his performance. But, you know, throwing him into a semi final in Melbourne and he hasn't had a lot of minutes in the first team, starting a game against the quality of City, it's a big deal. But, you know, maybe on the flip side, you argue, well, he's a professional now. You should be able to, you know, cope with that kind of thing. But, yeah, he had a bit of a shocker.
Yeah. Votes-wise, pretty difficult, like I said, for me. I will say Caceres, Bratton, and Retre, 2 votes each.
I'm going to say Wilco, Bratz, and Anthony. And an honourable mention to Redders for putting up with all of them.
Bratz, 3-2 Redders, because I think he pulled off a couple of decent, very decent saves as well, apart from having a sore back from picking the ball up full time. and 1 for Caceres.
Yeah.
Very good. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Sydney FC, we'll get into our season review very shortly. Just quickly to touch on the NPL. Because
touch on little boys.
We're not. We know that everyone likes it when we do that. so we'll talk
about our listeners, dude.
We'll talk about the NPL. Come from behind victory, Sean. We're down 1-0 before some, you know, again, some more names that haven't been on the score sheet too much this year, but we just
we
keep bringing boys in and they keep scoring goals.
Over at Popondetta Park.
Watch out for the needles, lads.
Yeah. look, dodgy as hell. All due respects, Mount Druitt. But yeah, Lucas Smythe getting on the score sheet. Tarek McFlynn's favourite.
Yes.
He loves him. He loves Lucas Smythe. Loves him.
It's almost like he's his agent.
And Agosti got on the score sheet. Winning
Louis Agosti.
Louis Agosti, a nice little dinking through ball near on the edge of the 18-yard box for him to latch onto and score the win. I think in the 87th or something like that minute, something like that. But after what kind of felt like a loss the week before against Sutherland, although they did beat, a 16-year-old beat Sydney Olympic on the weekend from them.
Yeah.
Sucked in Olympic. No, I shouldn't say I like Olympic, but they're on they're on tilt.
They're not going well, are they?
No, they're busted. Very good win from the boys, 2-1 against Mount Druitt, who you'd expect a win against that lot, who are often at the bottom of the table with what's his face in the team, Jonathan, Jules?
Tarek Ilic.
That's the one. But look, hopefully some of these boys are in the first team next year. Time will tell. Because you got the likes of Nathan Pawley, who else is there? Zane Schreiber is a great player. Benny Gibson, Keely Adminson. He's a young fella who I think we all should watch closely in the next couple of years. Jonathan, you're a bit of a fan of Keely.
Yeah, I think so.
Luca as well. Forgive me, Jonathan. Is Luca, is he a forward or more like an attacker?
Luca Smythe? Yeah, forward. Yeah, striker. Forward. Yeah.
Is he here sometime with the fellas off the bench?
He did. Correct. Central Coast, Leichhardt Oval. That's right. Yep.
And you've got, you know, Priestman, of course, Parsons. Mm. And then Gertie and Pav as well. So a very should we keep a lookout for Ayokmo? How do you pronounce it?
Ayokmo. He's sort of been playing a bit part role off the bench, but now that the A League season's done, it'll be interesting to see which of our academy boys go back and play a bit more. I mean, players like Segicic haven't really had much of a break, you know, between last NPL season, international duty, A-Leagues, you know.
Yeah.
So he might have a bit of a break. But someone like Kacharski, who's missed a fair bit of football, he might go back and start playing a bit more regular minutes for the NPL side. Mm. Gerd's been playing, I think, the last 5 or 6 weeks, Sean. Starting, so... Yeah, so it'll be interesting. But as we said in the pod last week, keep an eye out because we understand that there is going to be quite a bit of turnover in this squad. Potentially, just looking at that lineup you put up, Sean.
It's just full of talent, isn't it? really. I'm biased.
There's at least three players we know that are heading off to greener pastures in their eyes. So that'll happen over the next couple of weeks. So those boys won't be involved with the NPL squad anymore. But what it does do is it gives more opportunity for the ones that are here. So we'll see what happens.
Can't keep them all, I guess. Can't keep them all.
Can't keep them all. And our children are up to fourth on the NPL table in the senior men's competition. We're up to fourth. So outstanding.
They still got RP up first. And where's Marconi? Are they second? And Rockdale?
Yeah, Rockdale second, Marconi third, and they're quite clear of us. We're on 26 points, but Sydney United lost and St George drew, so we've moved ahead of them.
Nice. Well, speaking of Marconi, we'll quickly review. They got Marconi on the weekend, Friday 26th of May, Valentine at 7:30 Friday night. I did see the great post from the Cove, kind of wrapping up the end of the season and whatnot, and. They did, and I really appreciate how they said this. We encourage all of our supporters to get behind our youth sides in the NPL this off-season. We will provide more information on their games. So if you still want your Sydney FC fix, you know, head down to Valentine and the like week in, week out. We're about halfway through the season now, Jules, you reckon? Maybe?
Roughly. Yeah. I think it's like 14 or 15 games have been played. Roughly, yeah.
So this will be the first team that we've played twice. So I suspect this is, you know, about the halfway mark. We got dusted.
It is the halfway. 16. Yeah. We've played 16 games and 16 teams in the comp. So just over halfway.
So yeah. What did they beat us last time? Was it 4-0 or something insane like that? The second or something game of the season. But they're a tough gig, Marconi, as Jules, you found out a little while ago. Still starting from that loss. With the likes of Andy, what's his name?
He still can't sit down.
Geordie Schwibble.
Yeah, I still can't. Yeah. Well, I'm sending the Cairo bill for my goalkeeper to the club, to Club Marconi.
Is that the bend over too much?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's no good. Hey, boys, so, completely off topic. So Marconi, we got on the weekend. Sorry, let's wrap that chat up first. Sorry, Sean, I interjected too soon. Are you going to make your way over to Valentine Park, Sean, Friday night?
Up in Glenwood? Oh, it's a bit of a trek. Friday night? Probably not. I'm coming home from work. I don't think I'll be able to make it up in time.
You're supposed to pretend. You're like, yeah, I'll be there.
If you're still living up there, at least I've got a place to crash.
That's it. Another challenge, but hey, last time we took one of the top two on, we beat them 4-0. So
you know how I can watch it, Jonathan? Good old NPL.TV.
NPL.TV, 100%.
Unlike me. Yeah.
No, good luck to the boys and Jimmy Van Weeren on Friday night. Jules, maybe more of a it was probably a question for both of you, but I was just thinking during the week, so looking at this NPL table, right? This is a bit off topic, as we like to do. Let's hypothesize that four of these clubs go into the second tier next year.
True. Yeah.
Which kicks off in March.
Lovely.
Do the teams still get relegated or do they do something funky and keep them up there and then only promote teams from NPL, from New South Wales League 1?
Make it 16-team comp again?
Because you could relegate the two bottom teams still and promote six teams, but that's probably unlikely.
Oh, that's a bit much,
Probably unlikely. So I reckon there's a bit of protection at the bottom of the table there for some of those battlers.
Yeah, I think as well, considering who's at the bottom. Out of the bottom two, they probably don't want to. There'll be maybe a bit of a political push to keep those lads in there.
I think so. So they'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, who knows what's happening with the second tier? It still might not even get up. But just had a thought during the week that both in New South Wales and Victoria, if they take four clubs out of the top tier, there's some opportunities there for some other clubs to move in.
To be fair, you've still got people that are in the running for that national second division that aren't even anywhere near the fucking top tier. So
yeah, that's true.
So
Quakers Hill Juniors?
Quakers Hill Juniors, unfortunately, didn't got get past back. The paperwork stage because it would be fucked.
Is that because you broke your whiteboard? Or?
I just thought... yeah. He used to. He only had a HB. He needed a 2B pencil, as he's.
Yeah, exactly.
But question, like, what if Quakers? What's the procedure if Quakers said, "Oh, we want to be an NPL club and get into league"?
Yeah,
you know, one of the NPL.
NPL New South Wales State League 2 would be the.
Yeah.
Where you'd there's a, I think there's a $35,000 or $40,000 application, and then you need certain levels of facilities. So one of the clubs in the association actually tried to all were positioning themselves to be an NPL club at one stage. It sort of fell through just because the venue that they moved to was quite expensive and just it didn't really work out. So there's probably one club in our association that could do it, but it would be another Blacktown club. So I dare say that
there's two of them.
Yeah. There's too many of them.
Too many up in the northwest.
They should rebrand to Quakers.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Get the real fans out there. Anyway, we move on. That brings us, Sean, I think, to our season review.
Or here, are we doing hero and villain, or are we doing season review? And
are
then
we
hero?
Doing heroes and villains?
Mm. Oh, there's some villains out there.
I don't know if I want to let you guys do your ones.
I'll leave out any names.
Let's just call them. No, that's too obvious.
Mr. X.
Atlanta Falcons.
Simpson L. No, that's too obvious. Let's call it Mr. X.
Heroes and villains. If you guys want to do it, go for it.
Oh, look, let's do it. Oh, I'm yawning. Sorry, everyone.
Wow. It's been a long season.
Oh, look, we'll do a very casual one. I won't bother with the effects or whatnot.
Let's have a discussion.
Just, you know, anyone who had a go at him, stuck the boot into to Max and saying he was the reason why we lost. He isn't. It was still capable, and many teams have done it over the years, albeit a tough challenge to win with 10 men, but it is still possible. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. If it weren't for Max Burgess, we wouldn't have finished fifth. You know what I mean? And look, there's 10 other players in the pitch and the squad and whatnot that contributed, but anyone who looks back at the season and has a smile on their face, a lot of it would come from Max. Both his performances on the field, you even look back at the Celtic game and how much, you know, a smile and how great entertainment, you know, he did for us during that game. And then the season, the Wanderers, the derby, the second derby, you know, over there at the shitty place over there in Parramatta. And then how much time he spends, and he's not the only one, but he's one of the main ones, how much time he spends at the end of the game, shaking hands, signing autographs and all of that. You know, he's out there, the security's like flicking the lights on and off, trying to say, look, mate, you know, I need to get home with the kids, you know, God love him, Max. But look, Max knows what he did was wrong and was and made a tough gig, an even tougher gig for the fellas. But we've got a lot to be thankful for Max this season. In what was a very underwhelming season, he put a lot of smiles on people's faces and brought a lot of love to the fans, for the fans. So I'm very grateful for Max this season. So I don't think he should get any criticism for what happened.
He can get some
criticism, but he's not he's not the reason why each of those goals went in.
No, well said. Yeah. Well said, Shawnee boy. Well said. Jules, did you have anything you wanted to address? Or?
Yeah, look, I just, very quick one. Just the overall, and there was an abundance of it, shit takes from the mushroom-infused Kool-Aid drinking brigade.
Kept in the dark and fed shit?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. There's just a few interesting... there's no other way to describe it. Shit takes on
reactionary. Were a lot of these reactionary though, or
a little bit of reactionary, but more around trying to express that we've had a successful season. I just don't see it. Suggesting that certain people should definitely without question, be backed and onto their second year of their contract.
A bit clearer about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
High expectations at this club, Jules, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, some people do, and some people, I think, maybe they just got short memories, goldfish syndrome, something like that. I don't know. But let's not beat around the bush. This was below standards as well. So it's two seasons in a row that we haven't reached the heights that we should expect at this club. I think Slowey, like we said in the front of the pod, summed it up perfectly. That's the level that we need to be at. That's the level that we expect at Sydney. And I think anybody in and around the club would agree with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think
The only other thing, hero of the week, very quickly, everybody that got on the bus and travelled down to Melbourne.
Yeah,
fantastic effort, crazy long trip, and then having to come back after obviously losing the game 4-0. Kudos to you guys, seriously. Fantastic support. Could hear him very clearly across the TV, out singing the dog shit support that Melbourne City have in general. So really well done.
Well said. Very, very good. Very, very good. Are we doing ladies first, gents? Is that...
ladies first.
Is that where we're going to go?
Why not?
Well, speaking of bright points. Speaking of bright points, a double winning year for our Sky Blue girls. One that has been a long time coming, and absolutely nothing less than what they, the backroom staff and the club and anyone associated with them deserve. Fantastic season had by all. I think we touched on this post grand final, Sean, but a wonderful ending to the season with a huge crowd at CommBank there, and wouldn't it be nice if the girls got, you know, close to that every game. It's looking like, before we sort of talk about our highlights and players of the season, it's looking likely that the vast majority of the squad will be sticking around. The key for us is obviously the signature of Courtney Vine, which is missing at the moment. But it's not gone elsewhere. So that signature is pending. And obviously Courtney's got a huge couple of months coming up for the Matildas. And we'll see what that does, what it brings for her. And I think in a way, boys, we're being pretty selfish wanting her to stay. I think she's ready to go.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think she has to go. Yeah. I think it's time. I think she, with a good World Cup campaign, which I think she is going to have, to be honest, I back her to have it. Let her spread her wings. Let her go. I think she has talked about, when she was on the pod, her aspirations to play in England. I reckon she could do it.
Easy.
Like now. Yeah, easily do it.
She could do it for a top four club.
Oh, without question. So I'd love to see her. I'd love to see her at United. But I don't think she's a United fan, to be honest. I think she might be a Chelsea fan from memory.
Ooh.
Or interesting.
Maybe she'll replace Sammy Kerr when Sammy Kerr goes to Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But yeah, let her go. If she gets the offer.
Yeah. Shawnee, were you being selfish? You want
Courtney very to good. look, she's achieved everything she can here in our domestic league. And from it she's played for the Matildas. I think go overseas, test yourself, you know. See it as you're young, it's an adventure. You can, you know, tag some travel in amongst it as well, playing maybe in England or somewhere else in Europe. Cool. And there's plenty of Aussies out over there too. So, you know, you're likely to join a club with a couple of Aussies there anyway, whether it might be a Remy or a Claire Wheeler or a Sam Kerr or any one of the familiar faces.
Mary Fowler. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Fowler or a Lydia Williams over there at Brighton. She's at Brighton.
Yeah, she's Brighton. Yeah.
Yeah. So go for it. Enjoy the World Cup, kill it, and then, you know.
I think we're, I don't think it's a fait accompli. I think we're still a chance of signing up.
From from West New York.
I think we're still a chance of signing her.
But I can see her turning out to be a bit like a Ryan, who's just like, I'm happy at home. I've just got everything I need. You know,
potentially, we'd have to make her our marquee though. Sandhurst style for Perth, like to keep her. I think because there'll be offers, and you know, again, nothing less than she deserves. Sean, it's just about finding that balance, isn't it? If you know, if she's happy, maybe the difference in offers isn't that great. But we'll see what happens. Any other points you boys wanted to chat on before we sort of go through a few categories?
Nah, let's dive in, shall we?
We shall.
I don't know how well you guys are prepared for this, but I'll start. I'll start with
Thank you, because we didn't get a lot of...
I've only had it on the run sheet for the last, like, 3-4 weeks, but anyway. I've got to work with. Look, my player of the season is Mackenzie Hawksby. I know you could call it, you could say Prinny, you could say...
You might say it.
I just think she's just insane. She's incredible. There's another face that could easily go overseas and play,
true,
you know, in Europe anywhere for that matter. She's just brilliant, Macca. What an engine. And it's got some goals in her too as well. So she's the heart and soul, I really think, of this team. And she makes everybody around her better. She might be a little bit of a smoky for the Matilda squad, or if not this Matilda squad for the World Cup, whatever campaign, you know, Asian Cup, whatever it might be afterwards. So Mackenzie Hawksby is my player of the season.
Well, good call.
Jules?
My player of the season's Captain Fantastic, Natalie Tobin.
All of them. Love all of them.
Yeah, I love all of them equally. Like, yeah. But honestly, very consistent. Just a fantastic leader. Able to play in multiple positions and do it extremely well. How she's not got a Matilda's call up just yet is a bit beyond me. I know that that's definitely something that she'd love, as any player, I guess, would. But, for me, she was just outstanding for the whole season, and it was lovely to see her lift that trophy as the captain. Yeah,
certainly was.
On 100th game.
Yeah, on 100th game.
And score a goal.
Those go through cherry time.
I was going down that path, Jules, as well. And then I remembered, despite both of them being atrocious decisions, with the two red cards, so I couldn't give it to Nat. So just to share the love around a bit, I guess that leaves me with Courtney Vine.
Yeah, the Vine star.
Again, bit of a slow start to the season. I think we all sort of acknowledge that. But a bit like the men... After a bit of a lull and some time away with the Tillies, she came back and absolutely tore up the league as we have known and loved for the last couple of seasons, boys. I wouldn't say everything went through her, but when Madison Haley wasn't available, her and Prinny really stepped up, and you know, a lot of our attacking prowess and assists came from that right side with Courtney Vine. So I think we've shared the love around pretty well there. But I could have chosen either of those girls. I probably could have chosen two or three others, to be honest.
Yeah.
Charlotte McLean, I think, grew as a player more than anyone else. I don't know if there's a most improved category, Sean. But Charlotte McLean was outstanding for the entire season. Deborah Ann Delaharp did a fantastic job when Charlotte was out. We just had players come in and do fantastic jobs. Kirstie Fenton, I mean, what a debut season for Sydney FC. And what a performance in the grand final from her, bombing down that left side. So we could mention all of them. So we've gone Mackenzie, Nat Tobin, and Courtney Vine.
Lovely.
The next category I had, and it's a bit maybe funny to say this, and you guys don't have to. I've got an answer for this, and you don't have to. But
I've got one.
Okay, underwhelming player of the season. The men's I put flop, but I thought that's a bit harsh for the girl, especially on the back of the double.
You're so sexist.
I don't know, but just because I like them more. But my underwhelming player this season, even though she played, I think, like, she started every game. I think she had a couple of subs off, a couple of minutes off. You're just in the back end of a game because we're up 4-0, 5-0 might be the case. But I just thought it was a little bit of a quieter season from Charlie Rule this season.
Okay.
I didn't think she had the quite the impact. Maybe because the likes of Charlotte and Kirsty came along and somewhat overshadowed her. And of course, you got the likes of Court and Prinny and stuff. But yeah, I just thought it was a quiet season from Charlie. I didn't see the kind of big impact from as last season and a few goals to boot. Yeah, so Charlie was my kind of bit underwhelming, quieter player.
Mine's, Jules, did you want to go or go in the same order?
No, you go, mate, you go.
Because you used the word underwhelming, Sean, my underwhelming was Shadeen Evans, who we didn't see. I think she made two appearances.
Yeah, one or two.
One maybe. I'm not sure if she was injured or if she just wasn't making the match day squad. But I would have thought after her performances in her previous stint with Sydney FC, and then she went away and played for Adelaide a bit. I think she spent some time away from the game in between as well. I just would have thought that she would have had a bit more of an impact and a bit more of a say in our charge for the premiership. So again, it's nothing personal because she didn't get much of a go. Maybe she has been injured. I don't know. But I was expecting, like when we signed her, I was really excited and I thought, I can't wait to see what Shay brings to the side. But yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to see it.
My underwhelming, and it's tough because it was her first stint in A-League Women's, and I don't think it'll be a last. I think she's a quality player, but Rola Badawiya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look, 13 goals in 15 games for Sydney Uni in the previous season. Now with my lady's spirit, and Tegi Auchi over there, but just more or less, I think it was also a fact of she's got, you know, three of the best strikers in A-League Women's season to compete with. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So it's always a little bit of a tough one there. She might get a little bit more opportunity next year, but when she was on, not too bad here and there. But thought she'd be a little bit more dominant. Yeah, I suppose that's my underwhelming one.
Hmm.
Nice. Yeah, Sydney Uni could use her services now.
They can fuck off.
What's happened to them?
Got shit.
What's
the fun? They got beat by the Institute on the weekend. But anyway, most underrated for me. I've put
based on this season, just based on the season.
Yes, based on this season. For me, is Shay Holman. And I would have liked to have seen her. She was away with the Young Matildas, you know, and then came back and kind of Indiana had kind of taken her spot in a way, or, you know, even though she's more of an attacking player, kind of shuffled that midfield around a bit to accommodate Indiana playing a higher position. But yeah, Shay, she's a player to watch, very underrated. I think you could build a kind of team around her. Yeah, coming if Macca goes in the next season or so overseas, or Sarah does, I think you've got a ready-made replacement in Shay Holman.
Yeah, agree.
Good genes.
Well said. No fuss player. Yeah. Does exactly what you need. I think a different player to Indiana Dos Santos, and I think that probably also at certain times. At the back end of the season, Sean, like you said, the game probably needed a bit more of an Indiana than a Shay at those times. Good pick. I like that one. Jules, you want to go on most underrated?
Yeah, I'm happy to go. For me, it's hard. I don't think she was underrated, or maybe slightly so. Kirsty Fenton. I think what she did for the side was extremely important down that left-hand side. She was amazing the whole season. So strong, so quick, so clever as well. Such a great player. already in the Young Matildas, back to be a very soon, possibly Matilda, possibly even as soon as the Asian Cup. But yeah, she's fantastic, and grateful that it seems like she'll be one of those ones that is definitely sticking around next season, because she was she fit into our system perfectly. Yeah, so that's my underrated.
Well said. Well said. Someone I mentioned before, the name doesn't get thrown around too much, but I think she must have started close to every game in a position or another. Deborah Ann Della Hart. I thought at the start of the season, it was clear that she was not out of her depth, but she was a little bit. Behind, I think, where some of the other girls were in terms of the pace of the game and the reading of the game and her positioning and things like that. But then she went away with Ireland and got an international cap with the Irish national team. And hopefully she features for them against the Matildas in a few weeks' time, boys. And she came back and she was superb. Absolutely superb, whether it was in centre half, one of the wing-back positions. She grew another leg, and I don't think she was spoken about much. And, you know, I think she's a player that, again, you know, if we were to lose some of our, inverted commas, bigger name players, I think she's someone that's going to be a bit of a star for us over the next couple of years.
Well said. Well said. Very underrated as well. Biggest problem, now we'll all go around. I think my biggest problem is Maddie Haley, in the sense of...
She's going to be leaving.
Yeah. I've just got a personal thing against her. Biggest problem is who's going to replace her? Who's going to be that central striker? Because, like, she'll go. If somebody's not snapping her up, they've got rocks in their head. So I think that's
how... She might love us a lot.
Oh,
I've got your answer for you. Roller.
Nah.
Give us some more time. Nah. Give us some more time.
You and your koalas.
See how she goes spirit. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, yeah. I've mentioned this koalas players, Nat Tobin.
You needed a clear.
Or former. Kirsty Fenton, former spirit player.
You're sticking to what you know. You're sticking to what you know.
100%.
Yeah. Back. So you think replacing Maddie Haley, that's a good one.
I know.
It's a good one. Jules, biggest problem for next year or for the year gone by?
Year gone by, the fact that we didn't have enough games to, even more games to win and dominate the league. That's the biggest problem.
Biggest problem, the A-League's not being able to follow their own rules and enforce suspensions properly.
No. In all seriousness, I think the Courtney Vine thing could be a big problem, because that's such a huge gap in how we operate in the attacking third. So if she does get that fantastic opportunity to go and apply a trade over in England or wherever it be in Europe, that will be tough for us to... I don't think you replace... I want to quote Pep Guardiola talking about a certain striker. We cannot replace him. We cannot.
Yes. No, I feel you. I feel you on that one. Biggest problem. I think our biggest problem is going to be our success. Funnily enough, I think, you know, teams in the A-League Women's Comp are already pretty aware that Sydney's, you know, been the best team for a number of years now. The club's done a great job of protecting a lot of the girls by signing them up to longer term deals, which is good to see. But I think the problem's going to be that we'll definitely be the hunted again from the start. And the other problem with our success is, to Jules's point and to Sean's point, is the players getting opportunities at higher honours or elsewhere, or potentially, which is what we want to see, being offered more money and opportunities at other A-League clubs. So I think that will be that'll be a problem that we need to manage over the medium to long term, boys. But so far, I think we've done a pretty good job of managing that problem.
Great.
Last but not least, who or what are you most excited for in the 23-24 season? My first thought was in terms of a player, and you mentioned her before, was Kirsty Fenton. She's what I'm most excited about, and just see her go another level. And maybe in a two or so seasons' time, you know, she ends up overseas somewhere, because she's going to be that good. I reckon she'll be wearing a Matilda's jersey, a senior ladies, I guess you'd kind of call it Matilda's jersey, by the next World Cup.
I think even earlier, potentially.
Oh, earlier, yeah. You know, Asian.
Yeah.
Very good. Jules?
I'm most excited for a couple of things. One, the fact that there's going to be more games, and it'll be a full season, which is fantastic, especially just to increase the professionalism of the women's game in this country. I think that's a really, for all the shit that's going on with the APL and different governing bodies of football, whoever made that decision, correct. And the other one, maybe getting a bit ahead of myself, but doing the double again. I'm excited to do it.
Double.
I reckon they're going to, the double double. I asked for the double double, and they gave me the double double double.
Fantastic. I am looking forward to Central Coast away.
Oh,
for the girls.
Double header.
Imagine that. Imagine the festival of football you could do up there. Oh,
that's a festival.
Who am I going to go for with my two teams?
They're a marina.
I know, yeah. You got to have one of those half jerseys. Like,
go the Marinas. I think that'd be great. I think Mariners away will be fantastic. And yeah, I'm like you, Jules. I'm looking forward to doing the double again, back to back.
Aren't they, exactly.
What else? You know, what else can? That'll be a challenge for Ante to. Will it be a challenge for Ante to motivate the girls after they've done the double now? Who knows?
That time he did something.
Nah, I bet.
Very good. Fantastic. Sean, did you want to... I don't know if you wanted to rate the players individually.
I did have that as something we've done in the past. But look, every single one of those girls...
10 out of 10.
Yeah. they're all going to be a C, B or an A.
Yeah. Let's save that for the blokes. Let's do that in the blokes.
Yeah. But the girls, you're just amazing in our eyes. We love you.
No, very, very well done. The A-League men's 22-23 season. We've shared some thoughts on that along the way. We've shared some thoughts tonight on what our thoughts about that might be. I almost think you can split this season to pre Wanderers 4-0 and post Wanderers 4-0. Because I think we saw two different teams. I think we saw players that maybe didn't know what their role was in the side prior to that come out and execute. And I think we also saw the players show that they would play for the shirt and that they would play for the manager. And I think the results, despite being against slightly weaker opposition or perceived weaker opposition, I think the results showed that, boys. What are your reflections in general about all that?
For me, it's nice to be back at a stadium, a bloody good one at that, despite some of the stalls and shops not always being open. It was nice being able to, you know, rock up into the city, go to a pub, have a few beers, jump on the light rail, and head up the road. But yeah, you know, it's almost night and day between one part of the season and the other. And I just like that little bit of dopamine hit at the end of the season that got me up out of my seat. Three good games at home, a couple of other little nice things in the amongst the season, like the Celtic game and beating City after the World Cup resumption. And then, you know, beating the scum at home. And that was just amazing to be able to witness it. So.
Yeah. Oh, look, I kind of agree with you, Jono, in terms of it was very much that point kind of, it got a little bit better, got a little bit more palatable, I'll say that, about the season. I still think I am riding that high a little bit from the sort of glossed over the shit sandwich that was the season, that win against Wanderers. And it still is obviously extremely sweet. But yeah, I think we're all, you know, said it a million times, again, season in a nutshell, not acceptable in terms of what our performance was. It's plain and simple.
Very good. Player of the season. Sean, you went first for the girl, so we'll go reverse. I'll go first for this one. Player of the season for me, I'm going to stick to my preseason statement, boys. Robbie Mack. I think Mack's going to take a player of the season. I think his form, in particular, the last few weeks has been monumental. There was an outpouring of love for the nation of Slovakia after the Sydney Derby victory in the elimination final, and I think it's very well warranted. I think, look, I don't think some of the criticism he was copying earlier in the season, I don't think that was wrong necessarily, but I think it was harsh because, you know, we always see these foreigners come in. It takes them a little bit of time to settle in. But, you know, this guy's played nearly 80 games for Slovakia and he scored, a truckload of goals. He ended up only, I think, 2 goals behind Alfie, who came home with a wet sail for the Golden Boot. And just his influence on games and those moments of brilliance that he had stood out for me. So Robbie Mack is my player of the season.
Very good. My player of the season, I think me and Sean were fighting over him.
Sean and I. Apologies.
I'm surprised Sean didn't pick me up on that being the, you know, the one in education. Shame on you, Sean. but it's, I think Sean does take the cake on the man love, but I love Maxi as well. Ooh, Max nice. Burgess is Ooh. My player of the season.
The red didn't spoil it. The red didn't spoil it, Jules.
The red didn't spoil it. The red definitely didn't spoil it. He's, we love you, Maxi. fantastic player. Stellar season. Incredible. So, I can't describe any more than that. He's fantastic. So, yeah, player of the season, Maxi Burgess.
My player of the season is Joe Lolley.
Ooh.
I generally think he'll get the top gong at the Sky.
Yeah. I think we've picked the three.
Yeah.
I think we've picked the three. Now, Sean, remind the listeners what your bold prediction was in the preseason pod.
That we'd bow out in the second leg to Melbourne City. Spot on, I was.
Oh!
No, I predicted, okay.
That's unreal.
This is to your credit. So in the preseason, you thought Lolly might not be all he's cracked up to be.
Oh, that. Yeah, I got my bold and flop, my most excited play. All my predictions were wrong. clearly I know nothing, but.
I may have played
in the Australia Cup and against Oakley, The foreigners need time to adjust, I guess, some people would say. He did all right. What?
No, that's good. I'm saying you
This is a changed. Miracle. it's a miracle. You want to fight? Yeah. no, my flop. Okay, all right, let's move on. My flop.
Very good. I think
you have your flop.
I think we've captured the who's going to be on the podium there, boys. Robert Mack, Max Burgess, Joe Lolley. I don't see how anyone else comes close there. Flop of the season. Can we say underwhelming as well? I don't like saying flop. Underwhelming. Diego Caballo.
My second.
third.
I didn't have high expectations. Looking at the playing history, to be honest, and I think we got a little bit desperate towards the end there in terms of a left back. I think he tried really hard. I think he's a nice fella. I just don't think he's a Sydney FC left back. I think, and he also doesn't rate chorizo in paella,
You can put chorizo in any.
You know, that's probably enough to really, you know, tear his contract.
Get him out.
But yeah, so Diego, unfortunately, he's my underwhelming for the season.
I think that's our underwhelming.
Yep, agree.
Okay.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Most underrated?
Underrated. That is a good question. I'm going to go with... Do you know what? I'm going to go with Paolo Retro.
Fuck off. Really?
Underrated. I think he had one of his better seasons. And I think that a lot of the criticism that we've seen is just people stacking on from previous seasons and continuing the narrative that, you know, he's a squatty and he shouldn't be starting and he's no good and all that. I think he's had some terrible moments again this season, but I think overall he's actually done a decent job when called upon. So I think when I'm thinking underrated, I think that's probably a player that I think his impact this season has been slightly underrated, I believe.
Yeah, my one... Oh, sorry. Oh, no, you go, Julian.
Yeah, underrated. I'm going to say I think it's the player that I said would be the most important for us this season, Andrew Redmayne. Yeah. I think he's sort of keepers inevitably always sort of fall under the radar a little bit. And I just feel like he was pretty important to quite a few of our games in terms of actually getting a point or not being completely... obliterated. I think for those reasons, he's my underrated player of the year.
Mine is maybe a little bit of a random one, but I don't think he kind of gets enough credit. But Bratzy, coming back from
Bratty boy.
ACL and all that, does a lot of the dirty work. I had to go at a few people on Facebook saying that he was, overrated and shit, and I'm like,
you having a go at someone?
Yeah, you know.
I don't believe it.
Got to stick up for Bratz because, he fouls so many players. He's so dumb.
Yeah, good. Like, he fouls them in the right areas.
Yeah, hello, that's how a centre mid, kind of, they should have that in their locker.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, you don't want the other team to play forward, hello. But look, yeah, he did a lot of dirty work and he really plays to, he really batters himself out there, doesn't he?
He
deserves another trip to the Nike shop to get some mad drip.
Enjoy your golf in the off season.
Yeah, you can get back.
What a lad.
Golf. Our most
biggest problem.
Biggest problem.
Biggest problem for next season. Oh, I haven't thought about this in advance. Our home form, biggest problem. If we want to go places, we have to win our games at home. I think we started to see a little bit of that improvement in that last 6 week stint, but I think that was a big problem for us this year, breaking that duck and performing at this new stadium. So that's a problem that I'd like to see rectified immediately.
Yep. I'm going to say our biggest problem, I was going to say something, but I think it's a bit too upsetting. this kind of alludes to it. The lack of playing our youth players, basically, or our prospects. Mm-hmm. I think that that's going to go. The league will only get quicker. The league is getting better. I still believe that, despite some people saying that the quality of the league wasn't as good this year. I kind of disagree with that in a lot of ways. I think the young talent that's coming through, that burst through this year, is fantastic. And I think if we're not willing to follow suit and trust the youth, as we famously say, I think probably at least once a pod, then we are going to be left in the dust of the ashes of our old players, because that's how old they are, that they're probably looking to get cremated soon. so, yeah, it would be great.
Running out of room for cemeteries.
Yeah. Nah, look, in all seriousness, there's been some great servants to the club, but I think if they choose to stay on, fantastic, but I think it should be in a capacity that suits the football club moving forward, where I hope it will go forward.
Yeah, if they stay on, maybe take more of a, you know, secondary kind of role. Yeah, my biggest problem too, Jules, was the youth and them not getting enough minutes. I understand you can't keep every single one of them. I get. Why bother having an academy when you can just, you know, rape and pillage Sydney FCs? And I just feel with our youth getting little to no minutes this past season, this most recent season, and I have little to no confidence that that's going to improve next season, and that we're just going to get this bottleneck, and then the players, understandably, they're looking for opportunities, and they'll take it elsewhere. It might end up being overseas, but A-League clubs will go, well, we'll take you. And there's some really good success stories around there with our youth going on to, you know, really great opportunities, and they've taken it with both hands, whether you're a Callum Muehlhoff or a Marco Tilio. And I think it's time to, you look at Central Coast and LA, they've got a really good mix of older heads and younger heads, and they've both done very well, both teams this season. And there's no reason why we can't follow suit, because we've got the best academy in the country. Yeah.
Well summed up. Most excited about, let's get rid of some of that negativity. I am excited about change.
I like it.
Because whether Steve Corica is the manager of Sydney FC or not, we must see some change around the place. And some of that change, funnily enough, boys, I feel, is going to be minutes for players like Adrian Segicic and Jaden Kucharski. I think what we mentioned earlier about the NPL squad and what you guys have just touched on then about some players that we are expecting to leave in the next few weeks. I think the club's at a point now where, you know, it'll be Sega and Jaden's second full year with the first team. And to see them between them play less than 10 full games of football. When, if you just talk about the A-League, what's the A-League? 26 games?
Yep.
So that's 52 opportunities for them. And between them, they played less than 10 games. That's got to change. And if it doesn't, I'm with you, Sean, on that one. But I think it will. I think I'm optimistic that it will change, that those guys will both get more opportunities. And whether that's Steve Corica or not, because I think that the direction will come from above. The strategy should shift. And, you know, I'm excited about that.
Should be good.
I'm just excited to see Max again. That's my most excited. Love you, Max. Stay on the field, mate.
It'll be in round one because hopefully the cup games will take his suspension for you, Sean.
Yeah.
Jules.
I said mine, didn't I?
Oh, did you say? Oh, sorry. You're excited?
Yeah, I'm excited for. Oh no, I didn't. I would say sorry.
You said it in your head. You said it.
Yeah,
in your mind.
I said it in my mind. I think it was just because I agreed with what you said. I was like, yeah, that's right.
Share it with the world. Share it with the world.
The fact that there is going to be change. I think there will be too. And I'm hoping. I just don't think we could obviously go another season without there being change, because definition of insanity, like not changing anything, expecting things that will get better. It's not the case. So I think naturally there's going to be change afoot. Let's bring in some exciting players and trust the exciting youth talent that we have moving forward.
Nice. Where to now, Sean?
I reckon we've got one category, goalkeepers, defenders, second category, forwards, one category, midfield, and we'll take one category each and just go bang, 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 A, B, C, D, F.
Beautiful.
Which one?
What's Slowey's measurement for this?
For players. Hang on, let's get him on the phone.
So which one do you want to take, Jonathan?
Roll the tape. I am easy.
I know.
But I would like to take I'll take the midfield.
All right. Julian?
I'll take the defenders and goalkeeper.
Okay. All right, you go then, Jules. You smash it out. All A, right. B, C, D, F.
Beautiful. I'm gonna go very quickly. Redders B. Diego D just.
Ooh.
Ryan C, Jack D, I think just because of the lack of minutes, but he was very good at the back. I think on the available games, he would be close to a C or a B. Thought he was pretty good. Wilco C, saved himself at the back end of the season. Gerd, probably D, just didn't see enough of him. And when he did, he looked a bit nervous. Donks D, borderline F. Kingy, probably a C again, saved himself at the back end a little bit with some performances.
Forwards for me. I got the forwards.
You do?
I do. All right. Mac. Oh, tossing up between a C or a B. I'll go C for Mac, B for Lolly. Oh, Alfie. I'm going to say D for Alfie.
Ooh. Harsh.
Well, you can't just...
I know what you mean.
The last handful of games were great, but we want a striker that can score, you know, consistently throughout the season, not just at the back end. So D for Alfie, Woody, D. Similar story with what you boys just said. Just didn't get the minutes, and the minutes that he got didn't quite really kick on. Sega, similar story. D, JK, I love you to bits, but we just didn't get to see enough of you. So, unfortunately, D. And I chucked Parsons in there. Yeah, he scored that goal. Was it against Brisbane or something? Whatever it was up there, man, there. But D as well. So, you know, our forwards didn't have the greatest of seasons, hence why we finished where we did. And, you know, it was more of a struggle than what it needed to be this season.
Yeah. I've got some pretty good players in my midfield there. Bratz, I will say C. Maxi Boy, I'll say B for Max. Retro D, Caceres C. I think he had a pretty good year considering. And Jakey Girdwood Reich was good when he came on, but he'd have to be a D based on minutes and that, so... I think Max got my only B. Sean, your B was Lolly, who you said Lolly was Player of the Year.
Correct.
And Jules, I don't think Jules had any Bs.
Which
is probably fair enough considering the number of goals that we conceded.
All right, guys.
So I think some people got upset with us last year because we were a bit generous, but
I don't think we're that this year.
we finished fifth, so some slightly better ratings. But yeah, I think that's it. Before we wrap up our season review, gentlemen, just a final chance for your say. Will Stephen Corica be the manager of Sydney FC when pre-season commences in 6 to 8 weeks' time? Who would like to go first?
That's a loaded question.
Well, it's what do you think will happen? It might not be your opinion. It might not be your opinion, but what do you think?
That's a good point.
What do you think will happen?
I think he will be. I think he will be.
You think the club saw enough in the second half there?
I think that they think they saw enough.
Okay. Mm. Shawnee boy.
He'll be there on the. I don't want him to be. I don't think he should be. I don't think the board knows football, so they'll go, "Oh, we finished." Wow. No, he finished fifth. We beat the Wanderers. We were 90 minutes away from grand. But you got to put that all in context.
Just clip the board on the way through there.
We did so well at the back end of the season. In context, we played three shit teams that were shit. And deserve to be where they finished, you know. Got to put it in context. And I think the board don't have the balls to make decisions, and they kind of like horses with the blinkers on, you know. So I think he'll be there. He'll see out his contract. Would it be my choice? Absolutely not. I think we need change in a new direction.
I don't know what it is, and I've probably been the lesser of the advocates for him to finish between the three of us. I think that's probably fair to say.
I think that's fair.
But I don't know what it is, but I have a spidey sense that's telling me he will not be there.
And would that be his decision or mutual or more of the – like where does the 64 –
Maybe he stays at the club with his contract, but it's in a different role. I don't know. I just have this feeling that that something's going to change there, and that he won't be the first team manager. I can't really explain it more than that. I get a feeling that that something might change. So we will see. Opinion wise, I could certainly see why he would still be there based on the last few weeks. I think our board and the management are, you know, they're going to do a full review, as Mr. Santo's email said, for those that received it and had a quick read. They always do a full review of the season's gone and talk about the future and what needs to happen. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I'm assuming that's going to happen in the next week or so. And I think I'm with you, Shawnee. I think I'd like to see a different direction taken, but yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to have to happen very soon if that is to be the case, because obviously you want someone to have as much time as possible with the squad and with the squad makeup and preseason, everything else. So could be a busy couple of weeks for the Sky Blues at Sky Park there.
Yeah, I just don't want another season of will we finish, like what the last 2 years has been, where we're going to finish on this side or this side of the top six, and that uncertainty. Yeah.
There'll always be a bit of uncertainty. But we could do things to make it less uncertain, Sean, is what you're saying.
Yes.
You think, Yeah.
It's a tough one because we're talking about a guy that's won every single piece of silverware that we've won as a club. He's won. In terms of the senior men's side, just to clarify that.
But as still, as in he's been involved in one way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really tough because I don't think that should then guarantee you complete, bulletproof status. But at the same time, it's how do you, in this situation, move amicably forward and not discredit everything that this guy's done for the club by effectively moving him on from a position that he currently holds. So it's a very delicate and unique situation. No simple as just saying, look, he's not met expectations. See you later. It can't be as simple as that because of the complex nature of the relationship between him and the club. He is the club. He is a fabric of the club. He's part of the furniture. He should be respected for that. And I don't think there's ever been a case on this pod, and I hope so, that we've got to the point of where it's disrespectful. I don't think we've ever got to that point, maybe. Don't know. Have to go through the other pods now because I'm seeing the facial expressions. I wish this was a video pod. I wish this was a video pod, seriously, sometimes. I don't know.
No, but, look, I think you're right. Yeah. I think a lot of the time when calls were made, it was prefaced by it's nothing personal. I think that's true. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I think
that's fair to say. It's intriguing. It's going to keep a lot of Sydney FC fans' eyes and ears on the socials and you know, to see what happens over the next few weeks with not only the squad, but I think it'll become pretty clear whether a decision's been made or not. Like I said, that decision's got to be made in the next week or two, as far as I know. So if you hear nothing, then he's sticking around. That's the long and the short of it. Be interesting to see, not to see because we won't know, but with Alex Balmiohan, with his influence on the club over the next little bit, that's another thing to be excited about for 23-24. So yeah, exciting times, gents.
It is
exciting times.
Trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, we'll try. We will try. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, that's about it.
Jules. Yeah. No, I was just going to say maybe just and I'm sure it'll get said anyway, but just from me, thank you to all the listeners for putting up with our innate bullshit for, you know, a good part of, 8 months or something?
Yeah.
To that effect, so
definitely
would have definitely been a very depressing listen some weeks. Sorry for that, but yeah. We suffered together, which is, you know, we're a family.
We did. Hopefully it was cathartic for some people out there, Jules. But no, thank you, and thank you, gents, for your season. Sky Blue Stories will return in the preseason. We might do a pod here and there over the next couple of months, boys, depending on what's happening, especially if there is some big news around the club. We'll definitely jump on. The exciting thing for us, gents, is that there is change afoot for Sky Blue Stories as well. I think we can at least tease it. We will be expanding the team on our return. So it will not just be
Olan Tekkers, welcome to the pod.
Permanent member. We've done some recruiting ourselves. We've done some transfer business and we will be welcoming a couple more hosts, regular hosts, not just guests, to the podcast lineup when we return. So that'll all be revealed in the weeks and months to come. But exciting times for us, and it will expand our stable of hosts and some different voices for you all to listen to. So very excited about that over the coming weeks, and hopefully some rest for Sean, because, you know, maybe Sean does everything on the pod. So
how many times have I been on this bloody thing?
You might delegate.
You've got the appearance record, mate. So
you do. Jules wanted to know if he'd knocked up 50 episodes. I think you've got to, haven't you? Or is it 100 you're chasing?
Me?
Jules was chasing 100, I think.
No, I think
that's rowdy.
I think 100 would be crazy. I don't think I've done that.
No. What did I say we're up to the other day? 140 odd or something. So yeah,
you might definitely be a bit not 100.
Short. Yeah, you might be a bit short of that. That's all right. We will get there. We'll get there. And we'll be back. We'll be back bigger and better than ever. Thanks as always for your interactions. We might still put some Wanderer shit posting tweets out and stuff. But otherwise enjoy the NPL and enjoy your off seasons. Try and enjoy the grand final. Go the Marinas, I reckon. And we'll talk to everyone very, very soon.